one, two, three. Testing, one, two. He was testifying. It's in Revelations 12 and 11. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You know, sometimes when you're going through it, you have to stand up and testify. You know, because no man, everybody's going through it. Everybody goes through it. Now, it may be a little different. Maybe somebody's grandma didn't pass away last week. But, you know, we went through it. But, you know, I'm going to tell you how good God is. For the last 6 months, every time I'd wake up, there's a few things I do in my life right. Not too many of them that I do right, but a few things. One is I find out if my wife wants to eat something, and I try to go get her breakfast, bring it back because I know I'm going to be working and I might not see her. Sometimes I get to see her before she goes to work. But I try to go get her breakfast. But before that, we pray, and we lay hands, you know, together, and we just pray and believe God, you know. And for the last 6 months, I've been getting up, and after we pray, and I'm sitting there with her, and I'll say, Cindy, call your granny. Call your granny and tell her you love her. Call your granny and tell her I want to pray for her. Call your granny and check on her, and she'll say, I called her a few days ago. I'll say, call your granny. And, you know, it doesn't seem like a big thing to do that, but God was telling me to do that. And not just once, like 6 months ago, but like, what, once, twice a week? And, you know, when her granny fell down, I mean, she didn't fall down, but when she got sick and they knew that she was going home, I remembered that, you know? And, you know, you don't want nobody to leave, but when granny's 90 years old and most of her kids are saved and most of her grandkids are saved and some of her kids are in heaven and her body's hurting, you know, I don't want granny. I didn't want granny to leave, but I'm... And one sense, I don't want Granny to be here and be in pain, somebody to have to take care of her. I don't want Granny to be in the nursing home. So God reminded me, you know, I told you, and he was preparing Cindy's heart. Cindy don't have to feel, it's already to feel bad if your grandma lives somewhere and you can't go see her like you want, but you can always pick up the phone and say, hey, I love you. Hey, how you doing? We want to pray for you. And God just, like, put that in me. Now, that's a testimony because the goodness of God, the Bible says that God will reveal to his prophets what's going on. You might say, I'm not a prophet. Sam's not a prophet. You're not a prophet. You're a child of God. You're a born-again child of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and God will reveal to you what's going on in your life. And if there's a problem, I think Pastor Kelly said it this morning, it may be a problem you created. I used to love complaining to Brother A. I didn't really love it, but when I complained to him, he said, well, Sam, some of these are self-created problems. You know, if you wouldn't have went on vacation a couple months ago, you'd have had some money, a little extra money to cover some bills that you're a little complaining about right now. And, you know, like sister over there said a while ago, which was an awesome testimony. I don't know about that part about me having a heart attack and still wanting to help somebody. I'm taking that to the cleaners, you know. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. But, you know, sometimes when Kelly or Pastor or Brother A spoke into my life, one time I was in sin, and he read the scripture, the same one that Pastor Kelly used this morning about, or no, he used this morning when we were in recovery class. If you do these things, adultery, fornication, in the flesh, witchcraft, drugs, if you do these things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I was doing some of those things, and he opened that Bible to me, and he said, now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but and this isn't nothing personal. I love you no matter what. But this says you're not going to go to heaven if you keep doing these things. And, you know, for a minute, I weighed the option out, a temporary little situation that I think that I have to have, a buzz that I think I have to have, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever it is that you think you have more important than God, because God is a jealous God, and God will not have no other idols or no other gods before him. And, you know, God will give you exactly what you need if you just talk to God. If you want a better job, God will give it to you. But you have to talk to God. And sometimes the answer is no. But when he told me that, I realized I don't want to go to hell. And what's worse than that, he told me, you're not only going to go to hell, you're going to cause somebody else that may not even believe in God to go to hell with you because you're supposed to be a Christian. Now, I ain't up here today because Brother Angelo patted me on the head and said, just go do what you wanted. I'm up here today because I decided to be a man of God. One day he said, you need to get it in your head if you want to be a man of God or if you just want to go out and die an alcoholic or a drug addict or a whoremonger. Whichever it is, Sam, you're going to have to get this right. And that day when he told me that, now, it don't sound pleasant. Maybe I had lived it a little bit. You might have said it a little better than that, huh, Brother A? I just said it a little worse than that. But I don't know, but all I know is I got it. So we're going to overcome the devil by the word of our testimony. And I don't want to say I get aggravated, but when Keisha testified today, that made my heart happy. I was back there crying. When Sister testified today, I was back there crying. But some of the things I'm crying about is because God's the God of his word. And this is last time's message. Remember last time I talked about land and there was a lot of land somebody wanted to buy and it really was a lot right over there and that God had a lot in life for everybody. Now, I don't know where Kayla's lot in life is. It's probably going to be in Missouri for the next year at that manager spot of her husband's, but you got to get with God and find out where yours is. I'm trying to figure out where my stuff is. And sometimes your stuff, you may think you want one thing, but God's got a whole nother thing for you. So I like saying, you know, I put this on the church site this morning. Are you going to, you know, that little message you get about come to church on Sunday? I said, are you going to stay home with your problems today? Are you going to come to church where God can do something about your problems? And I always choose to come to church because God's doing something about my problems. But in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, which is my next scripture, I gave Jeremy a few scriptures, but I forgot this one, Jared. It just came to me a while ago. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So what season are you in? It's what you need to figure out. What lot of life are you in? I love that story about Chevy trying to sell her a car because his daddy's a salesman, you know, and you know, what season, because there's a season of blessing, there's a season of harvest, there's a season to sow, there's a season to get your heart right, there's a season of everything. And I was with John and Melissa, and God gave me some things to do when I went to visit with them, and we were looking at the house that they're renting, that they're living in temporarily. I told him what the price was on the house, and John told me, Sam, we've got nothing. We've got no furniture. We've got no place to go. Everything in our life is ruined. I don't know. You know, there's just something about me that, like she said, I'll try to help you any way I can. And I put my hand on Brother John, and I said, well, John, this is a perfect place to start with God. Because every day in my life, I come to God and I say, God, I have nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. I came to Arkansas with a bag of clothes, I think one outfit. I mean, my mom bought me a dollar bag of clothes from Helping Hands. And when I did get my bag of clothes here, everything in that dollar bag was 100 times better than the rags that I had. And I had the nerve to go up to the altar and I said, God, here's my life. I don't know what you would want with it, but if you want it, God, take my life because I didn't feel like I was worth nothing. But, you know, everything that I have today, I came here with nothing. It was just me. I had my family that loved me. I had my sister that let me stay on her couch or gave me her kid's bedroom in her little low-rent apartment back behind, not where 3rd Street is, but back over that way. And I stayed there, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got saved, and I got... And I would go in that room and I would pray. But for years I had to take these drugs. For years I had to get high to sleep. For years I had to drink myself to sleep. But after I got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost, I could go and I could pray. And God would tell me that he's going to give me a new life, that he's going to make everything new. And when I got the first car given to me, God, I was washing this T-Bird, a 78 T-Bird in 1992, and I thought I was really cooking and looking. And I could hear... And I was walking to church, you know, and I talked to God because, you know, it's ask. Now, I didn't ask him for a brand new Cadillac at the time. I just asked him for a car because I was walking. And my mom gives me this car she was going to sell for $1,000. And then I'm driving, but I was washing that car, and I could hear God say, you can drive a new car. You can have whatever you want. And you know, of course, I thought maybe the LSD wasn't out of my head yet. Something was still working, but that was God, because he's always got better for you. There's a season. 1 Chronicles 4:9, there's a season for more in your life. There's a season. You know, 5 years ago when me and Brother Angelo took Brenda Babe to a rehab, you know, and we had to go back because she was messed up and she had to go to the hospital to get situated because they were worried about her. I mean, I couldn't see Brenda Babe happily married right that day. But when I seen them guys get married, I was at work on lunch, and there's Pastor Kelly, and there it is on Facebook, and they're getting married. And I thought, wait a minute, I didn't get invited to this wedding. I could have got out of work today. And then I heard, well, Kelly didn't get invited either. It was a spur of the moment. She changed the Chinese menu food. So, but I was sitting there crying at the table. I had to compose myself because I remember the day Brenda Babe made a decision that God had more for her life than a bunch of drugs and a bunch of messed up and a bunch of failure, because God has success for everybody's life. There's a guy in the Bible that says, now Jabez, and everybody's heard about the prayer of Jabez, was more honorable than his brethren. You know, the problem with our world today is people don't want to give God honor. They don't want to give the man of God honor. They don't want to give the woman of God honor. If you're going to do anything in life, it's time to start honoring some people. You got to give the boss honor. Brother Angelo taught me a lot of things in my little miserable life, you know. And one was when I used to complain about the job that God gave me, and I prayed for the job, and I said, God, I think God's calling me over there to Walmart. And then I'd want to go everywhere else and work, you know, every time they made me mad. But now that they're going to give me 23 and a nickel an hour, I was ready to retire when I was 63. I'm really thinking about hanging until I'm 67. This 23 and a nickel an hour is a pretty tempting fate. And Ernie prayed with me last year, and I said, Ernie, I'm going back to the freezer for some more money. And I said, I don't know if it's all worth it. He goes, well, let's just pray that they give you twice as much what you said. And, you know, I thought, Walmart ain't going to give me twice as much. I mean, you sometimes you know how you try to reason it out in your little mind, but you forget that Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think, according to his power that works in us. Now, let me tell you how that power is working in me right now. I can't say the word that I said last time, and I can't say another word that I said back there a few weeks ago. And Jeremy is banking. I mean, he's put a lot of money that Sam's going to say something wrong. But I got that power working in me, and I'm saying, I'm not going to blow it this time. God is able to do exceedingly. And the next thing I know, I'm in Walden with Cindy, and we're laying her grandma to rest, and one of my buddies texted me and says, Sam, they just gave us $1.50 more an hour because you're in the freezer and everybody's quitting the freezer. You're like one or two or three people that actually still show up for work over there. So they're giving you another $1.50 an hour. I was ready to bank out of there and go back to the high and dry side, or talking about retirement. I thought, I think I'm going to stay there a little while longer. I'll just have to buy some new earmuffs, maybe a pair of gloves. But Jabez was more honorable than his brother. And I had to realize that my bosses and those over me and my pastors, they're not my enemies. They're just trying to tell me to read between the lines and not just read it and forget it, but live it. Anybody can read it. Anybody can do it on Sunday morning, but reading it every day. And see, it's not about being perfect. And I love, man, who wouldn't love Pastor Jeremy and Kelly? I mean, it's not about this religious facade, and I don't say that word, this act that everything's okay and I'm okay, because every day of my life I'm not okay unless God's in it. Every day of my life I'm not okay unless I humble myself and say, God, I know I messed up again. God, I know that I have problems still. God, I need you. And Jabez was more honorable than his brother. And his mother calls his name Jabez because I bore him in sorrow, which actually Jabez means pain. Every time somebody called his name, they were saying, you're a pain, you know. Every time somebody called his name, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. After being called pain all your life, I don't know, I guess it's like the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. at the end, Sue wanted to beat up his daddy, whoever gave him that name. You know, Jabez had an attitude, but he humbled himself. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." So whatever pain the enemies inflicted in your life, whatever pain or struggle or hardship you're going through, take that and call on the God of Israel today and say, "Bless me." And then by the word indeed, me, God, it's me, bless me. Not just a little, bless me a lot. That thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coat, that thy hand might be with me. Everybody's happy with that little bit they got. I'm not happy until I can give something away. I'm not happy until I got enough to tithe even more. I'm not happy with just a little bit. I'm not happy with just taking Cindy and a few kids to church or to heaven. I want to take everybody to heaven. And I can't do it without God, and I can't do it being in the flesh. And here, "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him what he requested. You may be praying for some kids. You may be praying for some finances. You may be praying for a promotion. You may be praying for another job. You may be praying for health. You know, I got COVID like in December, and I just shook it off and thought it was a cold the day before my birthday. Ruined my birthday party. I was at the doctor getting a shot of steroids thinking it's a cold, and they give me a test. They tell me I got COVID. Well, the last time I looked at the news, like, I couldn't even count how many people would die to that. But I'm laying up there in the bedroom when Cindy ain't around, you know, of course, because I don't get sick. And she reminds me that I thought, "You don't get sick." I said, "I still don't get sick. I don't believe I even got this." That was a bad test. And I'm saying, "God, I can't afford to die. I owe too many people money still. I don't want to die dishonorable. I mean, when I die, I'd like to at least have my debts paid." And I just felt God tell me, "Sam, don't worry about dying. You just worry about living and living for me and living right." And all I know is I got to stay home for 10 days, and every day there was some more food at my door, either from Pastor Kelly's chicken and dumplings that she was talking about. And they ain't that bad. They were pretty good. And pizzas and everything else. And then my sister Brenda played delivery. I was amazed. And Mary. So all I know is it was a good 10-day vacation. I was back in action at the nursing home on Christmas. But you're going to go through some stuff. So why not just ask God to bless you and get through it? Amen? It's going to be better than it was. It's going to be a new house. So Ephesians 3:20. This dude knew something about God. He didn't just want a little blessing. He wanted the more than enough blessing. He wanted a God as... Unto him that is able, I ain't able. Every day I have to tell God, "I can't do this without you. I can do it if you're in me, God." Now, unto him that is able, he told Keisha, "I want you to go to Bentonville, get away from some temptation." Man, God told me to come to Arkansas, and I said, "God, I ain't got no way to Arkansas. I'm in Chicago with the last 12-ounce can of beer I got, getting booted out of a house. I'm telling God why he can't come." He says, "Call your sister. She'll send you a bus ticket." If God tells you to do something, he'll always make a way. Just follow through with whatever God tells you to do. Every time I do something, God makes a way. Every time God tells me, I can do it. If it's me, or it's Memorex, if it's God, he's going to provide. Where God guides, he provides. Now, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Now, we got to ask. And then our think. Look, don't try to think like you can't. If God tells you you can, he's going to make a way. God tells you you're going to get another job. God will make a position at Walmart for you that you won't have to break your back for, that you'll still make more money. All you got to do is ask. Allow his power to work in you. Allow his power to work in us. Everything we do, the 110 meals started with 50, and then God doubled it. A lot of times, I don't feel like coming here and delivering meals, But every time I give a little old person a meal, every time God says, give that person a meal, every time the smile on somebody's face when I do a prayer and realize I may be the only person this lady sees this week, I may be the only interaction she has with God, and I do a prayer. And with John Gromwell's wife, I do that Catholic thing with the cross, and she laughs because I probably get it wrong. It's either this way or that way, but I do it both just to make sure I get it right. And still don't get it right. I think it's this way to this way. I still ain't got it right. Is it this way to this way? But it trips me out. But, man, she knows I'm trying. Psalms 1, verse 3. And Pastor Kelly's talked about this all day, about being planted. You know, everybody wants something from God. Everybody wants the best from God. My mother told Alvy a long time ago, if you stay planted, God's going to take care of you. Now, sometimes things happen in our life. As far as I'm concerned, Alvy's always been planted with this church. Those that are planted, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And I'm praying back there this morning. I'm asking God, God, you bless me. You take care of me. I'm on my porch looking at the rain, listening to the birds this morning early, meditating on God. And I can't do that with the nice green grass and it's all pretty. And I'm enjoying the moment. But my mind goes back to when I was homeless, walking the streets of Chicago with a 40-ounce quart of beer, talking with some guys. And they said, Sam, when are you going to straighten up? And I said, one of these days I'm going to go to Arkansas and I'm going to give Jesus my life and I'm going to quit drinking and I'm going to straighten up. And of course, we were drinking. We were walking the streets of Chicago homeless. And the guys looked at me and said, man, what did you take last night, man? Like, that ain't never going to happen. But out of my own mouth, I spoke my future, even when I wasn't a Christian, because I knew there was a God that could do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could ask or even think. Did I know at that time how God was going to do it? No. But I know that I'm glad while I was sitting there this morning meditating on the things of God. I know that I'm glad that I'm where I'm at today. I know that I'm glad that I listened to Brother Angelo and I decided to make some choices and some things in my life. So when a man of God or a woman of God or the Holy Spirit convicts you to do something, man, the hardest thing I have to do is tell people that I'm sorry sometimes. And sometimes it ain't even my mistake, it's their mistake. But I send them a text and say, I'm sorry, I should have thought of that. I should have thought of that. I wish I could have did a little better. And you know, when I usually do that, not all the time, people say, well, that wasn't really your fault. You know, the people that we worked, that we paid at the title company, they should have told us. But you know, I could have told them. I mean, sometimes I tell them, well, I wish they would have did this or they would have called me and I would have took care of it. And all I know is sometimes when you're wrong, God doesn't change his mind if you're wrong. But God likes it when you just say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I need some help. I need to be sweeter to my wife. I mean, I tell the devil to get out of my house sometimes, and she thinks I'm talking to her. Well, sometimes I forget to mention the devil's name, and then it's Cindy's name, though. Now I always need to be sweet, but every day we pray, and every day I try to make sure she's got breakfast, you know, or something to eat, or money to go. And you know where I learned that from? I learned that from Brother A. I used to see him get up every day, and he'd take his family. I'd be over there, and he'd have them, and they'd be doing a Bible study, and he'd say, sit down and get a Bible. And then he would take and pray with his wife and make sure she had money for lunch or whatever she needed. And you know, Brother A's told me, and I'll tell you, if you see me do something good, imitate it. If you see me do something bad, pray for me because I need help still. I'm trying to work this life out because everybody is working out their own salvation with God with fear and trembling. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This house of God is like a river of water. Every time you're here on Sunday, the Holy Ghost hits your heart, ministers, and gives you inspiration to go through another week. Every time you're here on Wednesday taking communion, every time you tie your tithes into this church, you know what? That's one of the ways to stay blessed. That's one of the ways to live the God kind of life. That's one of the ways to be where God wants you to be. Every day I pray, God, let me be where you want me to be. Don't let me be. Keep me back from accidents. Keep me back from mishaps. You know, there's a lot of times I'm ready to roll, and I looked that first time, and there was nothing. And the next thing I know, I just feel like I look again, and there's a truck coming right around the corner, right over by going to Walmart, cutting through that intersection. And I think, what if I wouldn't have looked? Just like you, Tommy, you said you felt like you were going to go to that restaurant, and you said, no, I'm going to go somewhere else, and you ate. And then there's people that get shot over there. You know, God will speak to you. And sometimes it's not an audible voice, but it's an impression right in here. Right in here, like, hey, call this person. Hey, call your granny. You know? But God is no respecter of person. The same thing he says to me. I'm sure he told Donnie to come down to the house of God today. I'm sure Donnie's right where God wanted him to be. And I'm just going to end this one more time with, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil. If God keeps me from evil, I'm going to be able to do a lot more in life. God, you know, in Psalms 127, man, I'm going to take a chance and go there in Psalms 127. I quoted some of these scriptures this morning. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain at building. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. There is nothing we can do without God. But if God's with us, there's everything we can do. And sometimes in Matthew 11, verse 28, I'm closing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That was a very short one. I should have remembered that one. I didn't want to say that wrong. Among the other things I could say wrong up here, I did not want to get God the last verse wrong. And I will give you rest. You know, sometimes I can't fix everything. I got like lots of stuff that I manage for people, and there's so many problems. I have to call a plumber, and a plumber's coming tomorrow. And sometimes there's personal problems. There's drama problems with three or four different people living in an apartment building, and there's more drama that goes on. And I always think, man, this is how Kelly and Jeremy got to do it. This is what send the person over to the nut zone, you know. And then you become involved with these people because you halfway love them, and you don't really care if they're doing right or not because, you know, I mean, I used to live in the ghetto myself. I mean, some of the houses ain't the greatest thing that these people live in, but it's better than where I lived on the streets, you know. I mean, I don't know what they're complaining about, But, you know, I take a personal interest, and I feel for them, and I pray for them, and I try to do the best I can. People say, why don't you drop that? Why? And I'm trying to drop it. I'm trying to get out of some stuff. But while I'm doing it, I'm still trying to do the best I can for people because I love people. And, you know, what Melissa said about supporting your pastors and trying to take a burden off, you know, they can't tell you everything if somebody calls and they got to go talk to somebody that – this family disease. You can't even tell those people's names. There's HIPAA laws. There's all kind of stuff. And there's things that all of us go through, and we can't even talk to nobody, but we can always talk to God. And, you know, all I know is every time I've ever tucked the trash out in this church for the last 27 years, God continues taking the trash out of Sam McElhaney's life. God continues taking the trash out of Sam McElhaney's mouth. Now, a little bit of it slipped out here last few weeks or a few times I spoke, but it wasn't as bad as the trash that was coming out 27 years ago. And every time I feed somebody, and here's the last story. I was in a hurry a week ago Saturday, and I was grouchy because I overwork myself and forget to just sit down and rest. And I think like, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. And I was in one of these, I got to do this, I got to do that messages more or less. And I pull into Dairy Delight, and I'm going to get her a breakfast or whatever. And there's a guy, and he's walking towards the door. And I'm thinking, man, I have not got time to wait for this guy if he gets in front of me. And I'm zipping to the door, and here's the guy right there. And other than doing a football thing and hitting him and knocking him back, I pull the door open, and God just comes over me. And I said, go ahead, sir. And, you know, the Holy Ghost came all over me right then. And I thought, man, there ain't nothing that I need to be in that big of a hurry about. She's not starving. She's going to get her breakfast. That person waiting for me at 10 o'clock going to be there at 10:05. They didn't buy the house anyway, so that wasn't a big thing. And the guy goes up and orders his breakfast, and I order what I get for her, and he says, get that man's breakfast. I'm paying for his breakfast. He held the door for me. And the Holy, I almost wanted to cry, just like right now, because I was feeling so stressed. I was feeling so pressured. I was feeling like, man. And I felt the Holy Ghost come over me, and I started talking with the guy, and he had a mask on. I said, haven't you had the shots yet? And he says, I introduced myself, and his name was Mr. Robertson. I don't know if he's some of the family that maybe owns Lensing's, but whatever. He goes, no, I have a disease, you know, where my immune system deficiencies all the time, because I've had to wear this mask all my life. He said, because if I get around somebody sneezing, it could cause me to die. And I can't take those COVID shots because that would cause me to die. And see, I don't know how many times I've complained about having to wear the mask. I don't know how many times I've complained about I didn't believe in COVID. I don't know how many times I thought it was a government conspiracy. All I know is right then I said, can I pray for you? And I put my hand on his shoulder and prayed the best prayer I could, because he was a Christian and I was a Christian. 10 minutes before, I was ready to be in the flesh and bump him out of the door just because I thought my life was more important than his. But none of our lives are more important than what God's got for us to do. None of our lives are more important than trying to be a good Christian or serve somebody. None of our lives are more important. And, you know, whenever I think I'm up here, God will put me back down here if I don't put myself back down here first. And I prayed for him. I prayed the best prayer. And then I went out crying, thinking about how I almost missed an opportunity for a blessing. Now, did I have money to buy that, my own breakfast or her breakfast? Yes. But at the point was God was telling me, Sam, how many blessings have you missed because you was in a hurry, because you was in the flesh, because you thought something was real important? How many times have you missed me telling you to serve somebody? How many times have you missed me by being in a big hurry and being in the flesh? Because God's not going to talk to you if you're in the flesh. Bible says the Holy Spirit is gentle. Says he don't strive with you. So if you're in this bad attitude, I used to think Brother Angelo is just a rude dude. He told me I was in a bad attitude. He said, here's some money, get you some lunch. I'm dropping you off. I can't afford to be in a bad attitude today. But, you know, I get it. When people come to me and they're in a bad attitude, I get it, because all I want to be is trying to hear God. Because if I can hear God, I can help a lot more people. More than that, I can help myself.